A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Against a red background, titles appear next to a drawing of a woman lounging on a wrought metal bed. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents an Avon production, starring Elizabeth Taylor as Maggie, Paul Newman as Brick, and Burl Ives as Big Daddy, in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, copyright 1958 by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Kate Roosevelt. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. More titles. Co-starring Jack Carson and Judith Anderson, with Madeline Sherwood, Larry Gates, and Vaughn Taylor. Screenplay by Richard Brooks and James Poe, based on the play by Tennessee Williams, as presented on the stage by the Playwrights Cat and Roof Company, in Metrocolor. Assistant Director William Shanks. Recording Supervisor Dr. Wesley C. Miller. Elizabeth Taylor's wardrobe by Helen Rose. Hairstyles by Sidney Gilleroff. Makeup by William Tuttle. Produced by Lawrence Weingarten. Directed by Richard Brooks. On a clear night, a trim man in his early 30s sets up track hurdles in an empty stadium. Behind him, a station wagon parked on the track shines dim headlights. Dressed in a chintz suit, the man kicks a final hurdle in line, then stumbles back to the car. Grabbing a bottle of whiskey off the hood, he throws back his head and drinks. His lean features gleam with perspiration. He shakes the empty bottle, then looks up into the bleachers. Below the seats, a sign reads, East Mississippi High School Athletic Field. With a running leap, the man hurls the bottle. A half-smile curves on his handsome face. He sways, his breathing heavy. Staggering backward, he twists out of his jacket and throws it aside. He lowers himself into a crouch, falls, and catches himself. Hands in the dirt, he settles into a sprinter's starting position. With a twitch of his shoulders, his blue eyes focus straight ahead. He takes off at a sprint, clearing the first two hurdles. He slows, but takes the third. As he leaps over the fourth, he trips. His face squeezes in pain. With his shirt covered with dirt, he twists to look at the bleachers. The empty seats are cast in blue light and shadow. He closes his eyes, then winces and clutches his knee to his chest. Daytime. The young man lies on a couch, a crutch under one arm. Outside, a band of children marches along the colonnade of a large plantation house. A pregnant woman with a whistle conducts. On the lawn, a thick-set man in a suit reads. A child twirls past him and reaches her hands into a tub of ice cream. A finned convertible pulls into the carport. A shapely woman with dark, short-coiffed hair gets out. Her knee-length skirt hugs her small waist as she hurries toward the girl.
Don't you do that! I want a new Trixie. Gooper, can't you stop that child of yours from getting a hot little house and ice cream?
Trixie! Couldn't you at least wash your hands before you did that?
The girl nods, then slings ice cream at the woman's legs. The woman gracefully scrapes it off her shin and steps menacingly toward the girl. The pregnant woman rushes over. Maggie smothers the child's face with ice cream, flashes the mother a challenging stare, and walks away.
Gooper! Gooper, did you see what she did?
Well, that darn little wash your hands first.
Across the lawn, Maggie hurries up a set of stairs to a breezy outdoor gallery which fronts the house. Through a screen door, she enters the spacious bedroom where the handsome young man lounges in blue pajamas, a drink in his hand.
One of those no-neck monsters hit me with some ice cream.
Now, why did you call Goopa's kitties no-neck monsters?
Because your brother's children got no necks, that's why.
Oh.
He's non-visible. Their fat little heads sit on their fat little bodies without a bit of connection.
That's too bad.
Especially because you can't ring their necks if they got no necks to ring. Isn't that right, honey?
Holding a cigarette, he sips his drink, then stares at the glass. Outside, the children pile into cars. Maggie changes her stockings.
Did you ever hear so many dogs' names tacked onto children? Think of it, they've got five monsters and number six coming up. Brought the whole bunch down here like animals to display at a county fair. So obvious, it's disgusting. Well, it's obvious what they're up to.
What are they up to, Maggie?
I'll tell you what they're up to, Bormann. They're up to cutting you out of your father's estate. Everybody knows Big Daddy's Dinah. Oh, I ought to send Sister Woman a bill for a new pair of stockings.
Do we?
Do we what?
Know that Big Daddy is dying of...
Well, don't you believe it?
You'll know soon enough.
Well, suppose he is. There's some things you gotta face, baby. There's some things in this world you've simply got to face. Why'd they have Big Daddy in that horrible old clinic for 6 weeks? The examination didn't show anything. Then why'd Brother Man bring his whole screaming tribe down here in this sticky heat? And why so many allusions to you and Rainbow Hill? Know what Rainbow Hill is? It's a place that's famous for treating famous alcoholics and dope fiends.
I'm not famous, Maggie.
No, and you don't take dope. Otherwise, you'd be a perfect candidate for Rainbow Hill. That's where Brother Man's going to tell Big Daddy to ship you. Over my dead body?
Rainbow Hill.
Standing, he gazes outside as he lifts his glass.
And if they get you out of the way, Brother Goober gets a hold of the estate and signs all the checks and cuts off our credit whenever he wants. How'd you like that, baby? Well, you're doing just about everything you can to aid and abet them and grabbing control after Big Daddy.
He stares at her, then hobbles back to the sofa. Hands on her hips, Maggie watches him.
Well, you are. Quitting work, devoting yourself to the occupation of drinking, breaking your ankle last night in the high school athletic field. Brick, we got one thing on our side. No, two things. Am I seem straight?
Brick looks away.
Big Daddy dotes on you, honey. We just can't stand Brother Man and Brother Man's wife, that monster fertility. She's downright odious to him. I can tell. Just like I can tell he likes me. That's the second thing we got on our side.
As she starts to sit beside him, he stops her with his crutch. She waits as he moves his leg.
He likes me. Way he looks me up and down, over. He's still got an eye for girls.
That kind of talk is disgusting.
Anybody ever tell you you were a back-aching Puritan, Brick? I think it's mighty fine the way that old fella on the doorstep of death still takes in my shape with what I consider deserved appreciation. You know, that brother Gooper of yours still cherishes the illusion he took a giant step up the social ladder when he married May Flynn of the no-neck Memphis Flynn. Because she was queen of the cotton carnival. Oh, I can just see Gooper falling for Her Majesty. Sitting on that brass throne, riding on that tacky float down Main Street. Smiling and bowing and blowing kisses to all the trash on the street. You know what happened to her?
No, what happened to her, Maggie?
Somebody spat tobacco juice in her face. That's right, some drunk at the Hotel Gale so leaned out the window and said, Hey, Queenie! Hey there, Queenie! Sister May looked up and smiled and waved, and that drunk shot a squirt of tobacco juice right in her face.
Standing at a mirror, she catches his reflection. His crutch is aimed at her, and a dreamy gaze stills his face.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Like what, Maggie?
Like you were just looking?
He sips his drink.
I wasn't conscious of looking at you, Maggie.
Sitting, she slides a hand up his chest and leans forward.
I was conscious of it.
He sits up with a wry smile, and her hand slips off his chest. As he stands by a phonograph, Maggie sits on the edge of the sofa with her back to him.
If you were thinking the same thing I was...
No, Maggie.
Why not?
You please keep your voice down?
No! I know you better than you think. I've seen that look before, and I know what it used to mean, and it still means the same thing now.
You're not the same woman now, Maggie.
Oh, don't you think I know that? Don't you think I know that...
Know what, Maggie?
That I've gone through this horrible transformation? That I've become hard and frantic and cruel?
Are you planning on meeting Big Daddy's plane?
Oh, Brig. I get so lonely.
Everybody gets that.
As he lifts his drink, she takes it.
Living with somebody you love can be... lonelier than living entirely alone. And the one you love doesn't love you.
She sips, then holds the glass out to him. Leaning on his crutch, Brick hobbles back to the minibar and makes another drink.
You can't even stand drinking out of the same glass, can you?
Would you like to live alone, Maggie?
No!
She stands. Hugging her forearms, she paces by a brass bed.
No, I wouldn't. Why can't you lose your good looks, Brig? Most drinking men lose theirs. Why can't you? I think you've even gotten better looking since you went on the bottle.
She runs her hand along the curving bed frame.
You were such a wonderful lover.
You'll be late.
You were so exciting to be in love with. Mostly, I guess, because you were...
As he stares vacantly at the wall, she clutches the brass bed.
If I thought you'd never, never make love to me again, Well, I'd find me the longest, sharpest knife I could, and I'd stick it straight into my heart. I'd do that.
She lets go of the bed and rushes over to him.
Oh, Brick, how long does this have to go on, this punishment? Haven't I served my term? Can't I apply for a pardon?
Lady, that finishing school was yours sounds like you was running upstairs to tell somebody the house was on fire.
Is it any wonder? You know what I feel like? I feel all the time like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Then jump off the roof, Maggie, jump off it. Our cats jump off roofs and they land uninjured. Do it, jump.
Jump where? Into what?
Take a lover.
I don't deserve that.
She straightens and eyes him firmly. Brick stands rigid, staring at his glass. Maggie's gaze drops.
I can't see any man but you. With my eyes closed, I just see you.
She moves to the bureau and gathers her purse.
Oh, why can't you get ugly, Brick? Why can't you please get fat or ugly or something so I can stand it?
You make out fine. Your kind always does.
Oh, I'm more determined than you think. I'll win, all right.
Win what? What is the victory of a cat on a hot tin roof?
Through the screen door, she faces him.
Just stand on it, I guess. Long as she can.
She blows him a kiss and walks away. Now, at an airport, May and Gooper stand on the tarmac with their children.
Not yet. Where are the flowers, darling?
Aren't you putting on a little thick?
They see Maggie arrive in the powder blue convertible. As a small plane taxis over, the children follow Gooper across the tarmac, the youngest waving a Confederate flag. As May raises her white-gloved hands, a girl holding a small bouquet watches Maggie approach.
Get ready now.
Mama, she didn't bring anything for Big Daddy.
Pretty seedy-looking flowers for Big Daddy, don't you think, Gooper?
I picked them myself.
Looks like she picked them off somebody's grave.
Now, you stop talking about graves when we don't know whether Big Daddy's gonna live or die.
The plane stops and they all wave. A tall man helps a petite red-haired woman onto the tarmac.
Get ready.
The red-haired woman smiles.
Hi. Hello, May. Hello, children.
A portly man with a gray goatee steps awkwardly from the plane and scowls. May grins broadly and waves the children forward. Cooper hesitates, then follows, while Maggie hangs back, her arms folded.
Hot dog in a gray.
The tall man squints. The little girl shoves her bouquet in her portly grandfather's face.
Kiss me.
Hey, darling, you look wonderful.
Kiss your grandmother.
Oh, darling, Big Daddy.
You look fine, Big Daddy, just fine.
Big Daddy walks away toward Maggie.
The exploratory operation proved there's nothing wrong with Big Daddy. Nothing at all. Just a little old spastic colon, and that's all.
Maggie runs to hug Big Daddy.
That's the best birthday present of all.
Where's Brick?
Uncle Brick got drunk and broke his leg.
How?
What? What's that?
Yeah, it seems he got drunk again, tried to jump the high hurdles at 3 a.m.
That poor boy thinks he's still a great big athlete.
Couldn't keep it out of the local paper. AP got hold of it, too.
Yeah, and you, P. And thanks to your professional legal advice, every other P.
Let's go home.
Don't you want to ride with the children, honey?
No!
He's his sassy old self again, all right.
Be quiet, woman.
Sitting in Maggie's car, he turns and stares straight ahead as they drive off. May stomps her foot. Later, the convertible stops by a lush pasture where horses feed. A dark-skinned worker doffs his hat.
Welcome home, Captain Pilot.
Big Daddy waves as he gets out of the car. Smiling, he stands at the white paddock fence with Maggie and surveys the land.
Well, I'm going to live, Maggie. I'm going to live. You know, they had me real scared. You know, I've wasted so much time. You know, I've got a million different kinds of feelings left in me. And I want to use them. Gonna use them all.
Two station wagons drive by, loaded with Gooper and his family. Big Daddy nods to Maggie and they return to the car. Continuing down the dirt road, they pass a no trespassing sign for Pollitt Enterprises. On the front lawn of the plantation house, arriving birthday guests and black servants merrily wave as the cars drive up. A white-jacketed servant hangs paper lanterns from the spreading branches of an old oak. Upstairs, Brick watches, then takes a swallow of whiskey. In the convertible, Big Daddy turns to Maggie.
Why did you and Brick suddenly decide to drive up from New Orleans?
For your birthday. What else?
I had a birthday last year and the year before. Didn't see you then.
Well, you know how Brick is sometimes.
Maybe he thought he was coming to my funeral instead of my birthday.
Why, Brick loves you. Well, he does.
What does he love you?
What do you want? Proof?
If I was married to you 3 years, you'd have the living proof. You'd have 3 kids already and the 4th in the oven.
May's children surround the car.
Get me out of this. I want to talk to Brick.
Maggie stops a maid coming down from the gallery.
You want some more ice, Miss Margaret?
Sighing, Maggie continues upstairs. In the driveway, Big Daddy grins at his guests. May bounces the little boy in her arms.
Skinnamarink-a-dink-a-dink, skinnamarink-a-doo.
Big mama do.
Upstairs, in the shadowy bedroom, Brick's crutch leans on the sofa. Maggie quickly checks the low level of the whiskey bottle, then takes a white dress from an armoire.
Brick, I got news, honey. Big news. Big Daddy's gonna live.
Brick appears in the bathroom doorway.
That's right. He's a well man. That's what Big Mama said, and Doc Bo was right there with them. Oh, you should have seen May and Gooper's face. Oh, they almost dropped dead from shock themselves.
Then he's all right?
Feeling like 40. Talking like 20.
And we can drive back to New Orleans tonight.
I'm taking no chances on moving you.
I won't break.
Or letting them poison Big Daddy's mind against you.
She undresses.
I just want you to get dressed and come on down to Big Daddy's birthday party. The first thing Big Daddy asked about was
Big
you.
Daddy, Big Daddy. Now, what makes him so big? His big heart, his big belly, or his big money?
The heat has made you cross.
Give him my crutch.
Maggie wears a tight silk body slip.
Why don't you put on your nice silk pajamas, honey, and come on down to the party? There's a lovely cool breeze.
Give me my crutch, Maggie.
Lean on me, baby.
He turns from her, and she embraces him from behind. Resting her cheek on his shoulder, she closes her eyes.
You've got a nice smell about you. Was your bath water cool?
No.
I know something make you feel cool and fresh. Alcohol, rub, cologne.
No thanks. We'd smell like a couple of cats in the heat.
He twists away and hops to his crutch. Maggie leans in the bathroom doorway, playing with a ring on her finger as he refreshes his drink.
It's cool on the lawn.
I am not going down there, Maggie. Not for you and not for Big Daddy.
She takes a large gift box from beside the bed.
At least you can give him this present that I remember to buy for you for his birthday. At least you can write a few words on this card.
You write something, Maggie.
It's got to be your handwriting. It's your present. It's got to be your handwriting.
I didn't get him a present.
Well, what's the difference?
If there's no difference, you write the card.
And have him know you didn't remember his birthday?
I didn't remember.
Well, you don't have to prove it to him. Just write... Love Brick, for heaven's sakes.
No.
You've got to.
I don't have to do anything I don't want to. Now, you keep forgetting the conditions on which I agreed to stay on living with you.
I'm not living with you. We occupy the same cage, that's all.
Their eyes lock. Then Brick takes a drink. Maggie glances down, her chest heaving.
You know, that's the first time you've raised your voice in a long time. Crack in the stone wall.
He watches her cross the room and lock the door to the hall.
I think that's a fine sign. Mighty fine.
Brick tenses and shifts his weight to his crutch. He looks at her with a twisted smile.
What would you do that for, Maggie?
She closes the French doors leading outside.
Gives a little privacy for a while.
Don't make a fool of yourself, Maggie.
He hobbles away.
I don't mind making a fool of myself over you.
Well, I mind. I feel embarrassed for you.
Feel embarrassed? But I can't live on this way.
Now, you agreed to accept that condition.
I know I did, but I can't. I can't.
She hugs him tightly.
Let go, Maggie.
She rests her cheek on his shoulder. Suddenly, he pushes her off, gripping her wrists.
Now, let go, Maggie.
She stares, wide-eyed, then covers her mouth and clutches her stomach as Brick flees into the bathroom. Maggie's nightgown hangs on the back of the door. With a pained expression, he presses his face into its folds. Out in the hall, Big Mama rushes toward the bedroom.
Son! 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 We got the most wonderful news about Big Daddy! What's this door locked for? You don't think there's robbers in the house?
Brick's getting dressed, Big Mama. He's still getting dressed.
That won't be the first time I've seen Brick not dressed. Come on, open this door.
In the bathroom, Brick flings the nightgown to the floor. Maggie lets Big Mama into the bedroom, then steps into the shadows.
Brick, honey! Sweetheart, how's your leg feel? Come on out of there, son. I want to give you the news about Big Daddy.
I told him already.
I just hate locked doors in the house.
I know you do, but people got to have some moments of privacy, don't they?
No, ma'am, not in my house.
As Maggie starts to put on the white dress, a 12-year-old boy sneaks up behind her.
Sweeten up the Big Daddy's birthday party.
Out! 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 Out, you little monster!
As the child runs into the hall, Big Mama frowns with concern.
Man, Gooper is so touchy about the children, why you hardly even... dare suggest there's any room for improvement.
Brick, hurry on out. Oh, shoot, Maggie. You just don't like children.
Why, that's not true. I adore them. Well brought up.
Well, why don't you have some, then?
and bring them up well, instead of all the time picking on Goopers and me.
Hey, Big Mama, you and Betsy gotta go. They're waiting downstairs to say goodbye.
Be right down in Jiffy. Tell them to hold the horses.
Gooper glances around.
Where's Brick?
Why, he's...
Big Mama follows his glance to a glass of whiskey. He leaves, and Big Mama picks up the glass.
Big Mama, what you said about having children, it's still kind of a secret, but... Huh?
Oh, shoot, Maggie. Stop playing so dumb. I mean, is he still drinking this stuff much?
Oh, well, he may have had a little highball.
Don't laugh about it. Some single men stop drinking when they get married. Others start. Brick never touched liquor before.
That's not fair.
Fair or not fair, I want to ask you a question. One question. Do you make Brick happy? Well?
Why don't you ask me if he makes me happy?
Because I know that...
It works both ways.
Something ain't right. You're childless, and my son drinks.
We're leaving, Big Mama.
I'm coming. When a marriage goes on the rocks are there. Right there.
She pats the bed.
I'm coming.
With a final knowing look, she leaves. Maggie's dark eyebrows pinch as she shakes her head.
All right, I'm coming.
Tall Dr. Beau knocks on the open bedroom door, startling Maggie.
Is Brick here? I thought I'd check his ankle. Is it giving him much pain, Maggie?
Oh, you know how Brick is, Doc. He hardly ever complains. Even when he had that awful back injury in football.
Brick?
Brick emerges.
Brick's birthday present for Big Daddy.
I think they're fixing to sit down at the table.
Maggie fixes a cold smile on her husband.
Oh, you forgot to write out the card, honey. Hmm? Thanks, Doc.
Blowing Brick a kiss, she drops the gift card and leaves. Brick shakes his head and smiles.
Can I get you something cool, Doc?
Thanks. How's the ankle?
The doctor looks away and Brick's brow furrows.
Hit you some.
Funny, that's the same leg you tore a muscle in, what was it, the,
Bama State.
Yeah, 21 to...
Nothing.
You miss football, don't you? Hurt much when you put weight on it?
Some.
Yeah, you were quite a team, you and Skipper.
Brick pulls his foot away.
What is it, Doc? You didn't, leave that party just to come up here and discuss my health.
That's right.
I already heard the good news about...
It's bad news. It's what we expected. It's malignant and it's terminal. He hasn't a chance.
But Maggie said and Big Mama's...
Lies. I lied to them. I lied to him, too. Professional ethics.
Cooper?
I told him the truth coming in from the airfield.
He's gonna die.
He's gonna die.
Brick's jaw clenches. He hobbles wearily to the open French doors and looks out at Big Daddy's party. Brick stares hard at Doc Beau.
What kind of truth is that?
Doc bows his head. As he leaves, Brick stays turned away from the door. His gaze falls on the wrapped gift. Frowning, he slowly puts down his glass and slides out the unsigned card. Outside, Big Daddy sits at the head of the dinner table, his daughters-in-law to either side of him, his wife at the far end by Gooper. The grandchildren stand beneath the oak tree, directed by a spindly, balding deacon.
At home, at school, at play.
Big Mama bobs her head to the song while Big Daddy hunches over a corncob, his back to the children. Maggie smiles with feigned politeness. Her gaze coolly assesses May across the table.
Do you like the singing, Big Daddy?
Pass the black-eyed peas.
Just look at Big Daddy. Ain't it something to thank your stars for?
They've been practicing just for you.
Tell him to sit down and eat.
Children, come on.
Over there.
Yeah, over there.
The deacon.
Well, look here. Telegrams. Hundreds of telegrams from every corner of this great state.
Wishing you happy birthday.
You want me to read them?
No. One from the governor, United States senator.
You must be getting on to election time, eh, Deacon?
But let's remember, we're all lambs in the same pasture.
Everybody here, including Big Daddy Pollard, owes thanks to those in high places who gave
us nothing. Every scrap on this table was raised right here on this place, Deacon. I made a pasture land out of this place when it was nothing but a swamp. And it was done with the help of God and not any governor.
Amen.
Boom, boom, animation, crazy!
Great balls of fire!
Surprise!
What are they up to now?
Well, it's all just part of the entertainment, Big Daddy.
Don't they get any intermission?
Oh, say, that's funny.
Big Mama puts her hand on May's shoulder.
Funny.
He don't mean it, sister woman. He loves children.
Gosh,
he smiles at Maggie.
Will you put some honey on this?
They're all Pollitts, I'm proud to say, every one of them. And I know that Big Daddy's just as proud as we are, knowing there's a whole dynasty of his flesh and blood waiting to take over.
Why, that's no way to talk.
What way?
Take over. When
well,
we
I,
all,
I just meant...
When we all know Big Daddy's going to live to be at least 100.
Well, I'll drink to that anytime, any place, anywhere.
To Big Daddy.
Oh, it makes me crazy.
In the name of every man, woman, and child in this here county. In the name of the church board, the school board, the board of trustees. Felicitations on your 65th birthday.
Later, upstairs.
Ray Connie, I brought you something to eat.
I'm not hungry.
At a bureau by the bed, he packs a suitcase.
What's that supposed to mean?
We're leaving.
We can't.
I can.
They're bringing the whole party up here to you.
You won't drive me. I'll get one of the boys to do it.
You just can't walk out on Big Daddy's birthday party. Don't you care nothing about him?
Get out of my way, Maggie. Get out of my way, Maggie.
She steps away from the bureau.
You got no cause to dislike him.
Do I dislike him?
Well, it's obvious to everybody, especially to him.
She closes the suitcase and sets it on the floor away from Brick.
What's he ever done to you? What? Why do you hate him so much? What's he ever done to you?
With narrowed eyes, she faces her husband across the bed.
Nothing.
What was Doc Ball doing up here? What did he...
Her eyes widen. Brick grabs up his crutch.
That's right. Big Daddy is gonna die.
Brick goes to the minibar.
I don't believe that. Doc Bob wouldn't lie to Big Daddy?
Wouldn't he, Maggie?
She sits on the bed.
Oh, poor Big Daddy. I'm fond of him. I'm genuinely fond of that old man. I really am, you know. Oh, when he finds out, I wouldn't want to be the one to tell him.
She looks at Brick, whose back is to her.
That's why you want to go now.
Yeah, that's why I want to leave now.
With a drink and a cigarette, he turns to her.
You gotta do this for me, Maggie. Please.
And leave the field to Gooper and that wife of his? No, sir. Let's face facts, baby. You're a drinker, and that takes money.
I don't want his money.
You ready to settle for 10-cent beer? Because that's just what Gooper will dole out to you when they freeze you out. They got a plan, baby. Oh, you should have heard them laying it on to Big Daddy a mile a minute. Big Mama's already on their side. You're a drinker and I'm childless. We gotta beat that plan. We just got to.
She pauses and gently shakes her head.
I've been so disgustingly poor all my life. That's the truth, Brick.
Have you, Maggie?
She sinks onto the sofa.
You don't know what it's like to have to suck up to people you can't stand just because they have money. You don't know what it's like. Never having any clothes. That dress I married you in was a hand-me-down from a snotty rich cousin I hated. You can be young without money. But you can't be old without it. Where did I fail you? Where did I make my mistake? Make that your last drink until after the party, please, honey.
With his back to her, Brick takes another sip. Maggie looks away.
I think I made my mistake when I tried to tell you about Skipper. That's where I made my
Maggie.
I never should have confessed.
Maggie, now you shut up about Skipper. I mean it. You gotta shut up about Skipper.
The laws of silence won't work about that. Not about Skipper and us. It's like locking the door on a fire in hopes of forgetting the house is...
Hey, everybody!
He flees outside, but everyone's gone. He heads back in.
This time, I'm gonna finish. That night in the hotel room, Skipper and I...
I don't want to hear about it.
Why won't you face the truth just once? About Skipper, about me, about yourself.
Hey, everybody.
Brig, honey.
Hey, you gonna bring that party up here or not?
Kid and caboodle, son.
That won't do any good. I'm gonna say this, and I don't care if it's in front of them.
Maggie.
He shuts the door to the hall.
Do you want me to hit you with this crutch?
You're still blaming me for Skipper's death?
Now, don't you know that I could kill you with this crutch?
Good Lord, man, do you think I'd care if
Skipper
you did?
Skipper and I had a friendship. Now, why won't you let it alone?
It's got to be told.
But I don't want to hear it.
It's got to be told, and you never let me tell it. I love you, and that's worth fighting for. Not Skipper. Skipper was no good.
Maggie.
Maybe I'm no good either. Nobody's good. But Brick, Skipper is dead. And I'm alive.
Maggie.
Maggie, the cat is alive. I'm alive. Why are you afraid of the truth?
Truth!
As he throws the crutch and falls, a girl runs in with a cap gun. Maggie trembles.
Little girl, somebody ought to teach you to knock before you open a door. Otherwise, people might think that you're lacking in good breeding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's Uncle Brick doing on the floor?
I tried to kill your Aunt Maggie.
Maggie laughs and Brick smiles.
But I failed. And I fell. Little girl, would you hand me my crutch, please?
Sitting up, Brick looks over at Maggie. Her face is streaked with tears.
What were you jumping high hurdles for?
Because I used to jump them. And people like to do what they used to do after they've stopped being able to do it.
That's right. And that's your answer. Now go away, little girl. Stop that, you little no-neck monster!
You're just jealous because you can't have babies.
She sticks out her tongue, then marches out, holding her stomach like a pregnant woman. Maggie covers a sob with her hand.
You see? May and Gooper gloat over us being childless. Even in front of their little no-neck monsters. Brick.
She sits beside him on the sofa.
I went to a doctor in Memphis. A gynecologist. He says there's no reason why we can't have a child whenever we want.
Brick rises abruptly and hobbles to the bar.
Brick, are you listening?
Yes, Maggie, I hear you. But how in hell on earth do you imagine you're going to have a child by a man who cannot stand you?
Maggie's eyes search his hard gaze. Blinking through tears, she struggles for a small smile.
That boy of mine... is a problem I'll just have to work out.
Here comes a party! Here we go!
A boy circles the room with a sparkler.
Birthday party!
That's nice.
Out in the hall, Big Daddy smokes a cigar as he slowly climbs the stairs.
Stained glass memorial window.
You like Cooper and the deacon time. Follow.
Get give me that window, deacon.
Clyde Fletcher's widow, a great generous woman, a fine character.
Somebody ought to give our churches a cooling system.
Yes, sir, Bob. Exactly.
Behind, May takes Doc Bowe's arm.
Shots and the tetanus shots, diphtheria shots, hepatitis shots, polio shots. Gooper? Gooper, honey, what all have the kiddies been shot for?
Well, everything but stealing chickens, I guess.
In the bedroom doorway, Big Daddy pauses. Brick turns and his father smiles and enters.
Well, it does get hot out there, you know.
Well, Brick...
Congratulations, Big Daddy, on your birthday.
Big Daddy sits down on the sofa as the others move around him.
A complete new stone parish house Dagan. With a basketball court. And...
What's all this talk about memorial stained glass windows? Figure on somebody kicking off around here, is that it?
How about some nice music to start the party off with?
She eyes Brick, who gazes out the French door, drink in hand.
Turn that damn thing off!
Big Mama hurries in with open arms.
Where's my brick? Where's my precious baby?
Sorry, turn it back on.
How's your leg feel, honey? Your hand was made for holding something better than that. Now put that liquor down.
Look at old Brick. He's putting it down all right.
Turn that off. How about a birthday kiss, honey?
As Big Daddy steps out of her grasp, Gooper puts a hand on his mother's shoulder.
Hey, everybody. You know, the first time Big Daddy kissed me, I fainted. Oh, it's a fact. Ain't that so, honey? You all know how he proposed to me? I was 4 months swole with Gooper, and Big Daddy said, "That's my kid, ain't it?" It was kind of funny. I never had a beau till I met your father. Well, he said, "I want that kid. I need him. He ain't gonna have nobody else's name but mine. Let's get the preacher. That's what marriage is for. Family."
May eyes Maggie.
Children were mighty important to Big Daddy. Even then.
Ida, will you stop that yammering?
Oh, that's just his manner of talking. He don't mean it. I've been his one and only lover, haven't I, sweetheart?
Ida, will you keep quiet?
May goes out into the hall where her children wait with a birthday cake. Big Mama switches off the bedroom lights.
Here comes Big Daddy's birthday.
May carries the pink-tiered cake, beaming as she leads in the children. Nodding impatiently, Big Daddy manages a brief, shaky smile.
So is Big Mama, too. Big Daddy's a jolly good fellow. And so is Big Mama, too.
Now, Ida, what the hell's the matter with you?
Oh, she's just so happy, Big Daddy.
I'm so happy. I just gotta cry or something. Oh, Brick, Big Daddy's 100% healthy.
Brick, honey, aren't you going to give Big Daddy his birthday present?
Maggie gets the gift box.
Big Daddy.
As the children attack the present, May and Big Mama rush over.
Oh, your birthday present.
Hold it up yourself. I want to talk to Brick. Hey, Brick, come over here.
Hey, Brick, Big Daddy's calling you.
Maggie picks up the gift.
Come on. It's a cashmere robe.
You sound surprised, Maggie.
Well, I've never seen a cashmere robe before.
Oh, that's funny.
What's so funny about it?
All my family ever had was family.
Ha! Quiet.
You bought yourself last Saturday.
I said quiet.
I know, because sales girl that sold it to you weighed on me, and she told me about it. Sister woman.
Quiet!
Stork and the Grim Reaper.
Deacon.
Running neck and
neck. Deacon. I hope I'm not butting in on more talk about memorial stained glass windows, Emma Deacon.
Not at all.
Yeah, say, Deacon, what do you get out of all this charity work, anyway?
I happen to love humanity. That's my reward.
And if humanity loves you back enough, you might get elected councilman or mayor or something, eh, Deacon?
Now, don't stop picking on Deacon.
That's all right. I was just about
to say... Good night, Deacon.
Exactly what I was about to say. I better be going before it starts raining. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, bless you all, each and every one in this place.
Good night.
Brick, they tell me that you was indulging in some athletics last night.
I was trying to, yes, sir.
At 3 o'clock in the morning? What were you doing out there on the high school athletic field at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Jumping the hurdles. I was running and jumping the hurdles. They got too high for me now.
Because you were drunk.
Sober, I would not have tried to jump even the low ones.
Big Daddy, it's time to blow out the candles on your birthday.
As Big Mama brings over the cake, Brick goes outside. Maggie raises a champagne glass.
To the biggest...
Now, I told you to stop it. Now quit this bull.
Now, I won't allow you to talk this way. Not even on your birthday.
Maggie joins Brick outside. They stand on the dark balcony, listening.
Anybody around here don't like it, they know what they can do about it.
I know you don't mean that.
You don't know nothing, you never did.
As she sits, he looms over her.
Oh, yes, I do mean it. I put up with a lot of bull around here because I thought it was dying. That's when you started taking over. Your loud voice and your old busybody butting in here, there, and everywhere. Sashaying around here, making a big noise like a boss. Well, I'm the only boss around here. I built this place with no help from you. And I'll run this place till the day I die. Now, is that plain to you, Ida? Is that perfectly clear to you? Now, I ain't gonna die. Ain't nothing wrong with me but a spastic calling. Made spastic, I reckon, by all the lies and liars I've had to put up with around here.
and all the hypocrisy I've had to live with these 40 years that I've lived with you.
Her eyes glisten.
Now blow out them candles. Go on, blow out them candles on that stupid cake.
Oh, Big Daddy. In all these years, you never believed I loved you.
She slowly walks out with the cake.
And I did. I did so much. I did love you. I even loved your hate, your hardness.
He watches her step into the dark hall. Downstairs with Doc Bo.
Big Daddy should make plans.
If he should die before...
Excuse me.
Upstairs, Big Daddy calls outside.
Brick! Hey, son!
Maggie glances at her husband's solemn face, then hurries into the bedroom.
I was calling Brick.
I was just delivering him to you, Big Daddy.
Brick comes through the screen door and looks impatiently at her. She returns a sweet smile, then lightly kisses his lips. As she sashays off, Brick wipes his mouth with the back of his hand.
What'd you do that for?
Do what?
Wipe off her kiss.
Brick hobbles to the bathroom.
Did I?
That woman of yours got a better shape on her than Goober's got on his'n.
Is that the only difference you notice, Big Daddy?
Difference in shape, pretty important, boy. But in a way, they're a lot alike.
Well, how's that?
They don't look peaceful. How's that?
Well, they're a couple of cats. They're sitting on the middle of a big piece of land, you know, 28,000 acres. That's a lot of land. And they're both squaring off, each determined to knock off a bigger piece whenever you let go.
Yeah, well, I got a surprise for them babies. I ain't gonna let go for a long time yet. That's what they're waiting for.
That's right, Big Daddy. You just set tight and let them scratch each other's eyes out.
You bet your life. That Goober's wife, she's a good breeder. You'll have to admit she's fertile. 5 head of them already and more coming.
May eavesdrops from the gallery.
6-0. She'll probably drop a litter next time.
He yanks May inside.
Are you stuck out there or something?
Daddy, I was just passing by.
You was just sneaking and spying. Do I have to lock all the doors around here to have a private conversation?
Big Daddy, why do you want to hurt those that really love you?
Bo! I'm going to move you and Cooper out of that room. It's none of your business what goes on in here between Brick and Maggie. I hate sneaking and spying. It makes me puke.
May steps back fearfully, then leaves.
Oh, they listen, do they?
Yeah, they listen. They run and tell Big Mama everything they hear. They say Maggie sleeps on a bed and you sleep on a sofa. Is that true or not?
Brick goes to the bar.
If you don't like Maggie, get rid of her. What are you doing over there now?
Freshen up my drink.
Son, you know you got a real liquor problem?
Yes, sir, I know.
Is that why you quit your job, sports announcing, because of the liquor?
I guess so. Yes, sir, that's it.
Well, don't guess about it, son. It's too important. So you quit? No. What, was that some kind of a disappointment?
I don't know. Do you?
I'm asking you. How should I know if you don't?
He winces, then squints at Brick.
Son, you think a shot of that whiskey would injure my spastic condition?
No, sir. Might do it some good.
With a solemn expression, he hands his father a drink. The old man eagerly grips the highball glass.
Sky is open again, boy. It's open.
That's the way to feel.
Big Daddy downs half the shot, then looks around.
I can breathe. All of my life, I've been like a doubled-up fist, pounding and smashing and driving. But now I'm going to take things easy with him. You know what I'm contemplating?
What's that, sir?
Pleasure.
Smiling, he steps closer.
Tell you something, boy. I still have a feeling for women, and I'm 65.
That's mighty remarkable, Big Daddy.
Remarkable?
Admirable.
It's not only remarkable and admirable, it's downright satisfying. I'm going to have me a ball.
Ball?
I'm going to pick me a choice woman, and I'm going to smother her in minks and choke her with diamonds. Boy, I'm going to be happy.
Brick moves away.
Why are you so restless? You got ants in your britches?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Something hadn't happened yet.
What's that?
Click in my head.
Did you say click?
Yes, sir. That click in my head that makes me feel peaceful.
Boy, sometimes you worry me.
It's like a switch clicking off in my head. Turns the hot light off and the cool one on, and of a sudden there's peace.
Well, you're a real alcoholic.
That is the truth. Yes, sir, I am an alcoholic. So if you'll just excuse me.
No, I won't excuse you.
I'm waiting for that click, and I don't get it. Listen, I'm all alone. I'm talking to no one when there's absolute quiet.
You'll hear plenty of that in the grave soon enough, but right now we're going to sit down and talk
is
over.
But this talk is like all the others. It gets nowhere, nowhere, and it's painful.
He stumbles as Big Daddy yanks his crutch.
I can crawl on one foot, and I can hop if I have to.
If you're not careful, you're going to crawl right out of this family and have to hustle your drinks on Skid Row.
Yeah, that will come, too.
No, it won't. Now that I'm straightened out, I'm going to straighten you out.
Sure! It's no use. Now we talk in circles and we have nothing to say to each other.
Big Daddy stands motionless as Brick hops over to his crutch.
Where are you going?
To get me another bottle.
No, you're not, you drunken whelp.
He knocks the crutch away.
Well, you're shoving like that, Pa. I just can't stand it.
Get out of here and leave us alone. Now, why do you drink? Go on!
He stands on Brick's crutch.
You better know why you drink or give up drinking.
Give me my crutch.
Why do you drink?
Now, look, I stepped on that foot. Now, I'm in pain.
Good!
Big Daddy's face contorts and reddens. He tosses aside his glass, then bends over for the crutch.
At least you're not too dumb with liquor to feel pain. Now, why do you drink?
My crutch.
Tell me first.
No, give me a drink first, and I'll tell you.
Tell me first. First, you gotta tell me!
All right,
disgust! Disgust with what?
You strike a hard bargain.
Boy, do you want liquor that bad?
Yes, sir, I want liquor that bad.
Big Daddy hands him the crutch, then follows him downstairs.
Now tell me, what are you disgusted with?
Mendacity. You know what that is? It's lies and liars.
Who's been lying to you, Maggie? Has your wife been lying to you?
No, not one lie, not one person, the whole thing.
What's the matter, you got a headache?
No, I'm just trying to...
You're just trying to concentrate, but you can't, because your brain is soaked with liquor. Wet brain! Mendacity.
Brick rushes to the living room bar while Big Mama talks on the phone.
Book on it.
It's your sister calling from Memphis.
To hell with her! Gooper, get out of there. Go on. Close the door after you. Mendacity. Look at all the lies that I got to put up with. Pretenses, hypocrisy. Pretended like I care for Big Mama. I haven't been able to stand that woman in 40 years. Church, it bores me. But I go, and all those swindling lodges and social clubs and money-grabbing auxiliaries that's got me on the number one sucker list. Boy, I've lived with mendacity. Now, why can't you live with it? You've got to live with it. There's nothing to live with but mendacity. Is there?
Oh, yes, sir. You can live with this.
Brick shows him his whiskey glass.
That's not living. That's a dodging away from life.
I want to dodge away from it.
And son, why don't you kill yourself?
Because I like to drink.
I can't talk to you.
I'm sorry.
You expect me to turn over 28,000 acres of the richest land this side of the Valley Nile to a fool on a bottle?
No, sir.
I like you, son, but why should I subsidize worthless behavior, rot, corruption?
Turn it over to Gooper and May.
I can't stand Gooper and May and those five screaming monkeys. You know, I don't have to turn it over to any of you. To this day, I ain't made no will. And now I don't have to. The pressure's off. I can just wait and see if you pull yourself together, if you don't.
That's right.
Now, I'm not kidding.
No, sir, I know you're not kidding.
You mean you don't care?
No, sir, I don't care. Will you tell Lacey to drive me to the station?
Wait a
minute. You won't tell him, I'll drive it myself.
Wait,
I'm going home tonight, now.
This is your home.
Is it since when?
Brick stares at the floor.
Let's don't leave it like this. Like all them other talks we've had. We always seem to talk around things. Seem to leave things unsaid and unspoken. But now we got to talk straight.
No, sir, it's too late for talk.
Why? What are you disgusted about? Because you can't play football anymore, is that it? Because you lost your job sports announcer? I'll get it back for you.
What? Sitting in a glass box and watching games that I can't play? To striping what I can't do while other players do it. Filling my coat with bourbon so I can stand it. Is that what you're going to get back for me?
I think you're passing the buck.
Brick looks thoughtfully at his glass.
You know many drinking men?
I've known a goodly number of that species.
Could any of them tell you why they drank?
You're passing the buck. You're passing the buck to things like disgust and mendacity. Now, if you got to use that kind of language about a thing, it's 90-proof bull, and I ain't buying any. Ah, you started drinking with your friend Skipper's death. Now, that's the truth, ain't it?
As lightning flashes, Big Daddy shuts the veranda doors against the slanting rain. Brick stares wide-eyed at his father and puts down his glass.
What are you suggesting?
Nothing but
what? Come on, say what's on your mind. Say it.
Why are you so excited?
Go ahead, say it.
What are you shouting like that for?
Skipper and I were friends. Can you understand that?
Goober and May said to Skipper was...
Skipper is the only thing that I got left to believe in. And you are dragging it through the gutter.
No, just
you
a
are
minute.
Making it shameful and filthy, you...
He lunges and crashes to the floor. Sitting up, he curls over his knee, clutching it to his chest with his eyes squeezed shut.
Give me a hand.
Brick jerks away.
I don't want your hand. To hell with all lies and liars. Didn't you ever look up to anybody? Anybody at all in your whole life? Didn't you ever believe in anything, anybody? No, sir, I guess you didn't. Nothing and nobody excepting Big Daddy himself.
You and Skipper played football together. Made a few touchdowns. Does that make him God Almighty?
I could depend on him.
On the football field?
No, anytime, anywhere, any place, I could depend on him.
You sure of that?
Yes, sir, sure.
Why did your big, strong man fall apart? Why did Skipper crack up?
All right. You're asking for it. We're going to have that talk. That straight, true talk. It's too late to stop now.
Did you say it without a drink?
But I haven't heard that click yet, that mechanical click.
Boy, you need a lot of crutches, don't you? Clicks? Whiskey? What else you need? Skipper? He was a crutch for you too, wasn't he?
Yes, sir. He was someone for me to lean on, in school and out of it.
How did Maggie take this great and true friendship?
Ask her.
I'm asking you.
No, you want to know why Skipper cracked up? Ask Maggie the cat.
What did she do? Chase him out of the 11-story window of that Chicago hotel? Did that little bitty girl shove your big hero out all by herself? Why? What was going on between Skipper and Maggie?
Ask her.
Brick opens the door and Big Daddy steps over.
Maggie, come here.
Can I be of assistance, Big Daddy?
In the parlor across the hall, Maggie rises and leaves the others.
Trixie's ready to play the piano for you, Big Daddy.
Go ahead, Trixie, play.
Maggie joins Brick and Big Daddy in the living room, studying their stern faces as she steps between them.
What was going on between you and Skipper?
She whirls around, gaping.
Well, you see, Big Daddy...
She looks at Brick.
Well... Well, come on, Maggie. Now, you wanted to talk truth upstairs. Well, go ahead. Come on now, Big Daddy wants to know. Go ahead, tell him.
Maggie glances down, then turns away, shaking her head.
Skipper didn't like me.
Why, Maggie? Why didn't Skipper like you?
You know he was against us getting married.
Why, Maggie?
Because it meant less freedom for you.
Freedom to do what, Maggie?
Freedom to run from town to town. Planes, trains, always running. Football practice, playing
ball. Now, nobody forced you to come along with us.
I didn't expect to spend my honeymoon in the locker room with the boys.
Since when did the smell of a man ever injure your sensitive feelings?
Football, baby. The idea of football smelled. Especially the notions of a professional team. Why, he didn't need any team of his own. He could have gotten a spot on any pro team in the country. You organized your own team on account of Skipper.
You're a liar.
On account he wasn't good enough to make it on his own.
Professional football, Maggie, is a business. Not a social club, a business.
Oh, you mean the business of making money?
Yeah, money. The stuff that your dreams are made of.
Why, the Dixie Stars never made a nickel. Not from the first day to the last. It wasn't the money, it was the cheers. He lapped them
up. Sure, the cheers didn't mean anything to me.
Oh,
but
no?
They meant something to you, didn't they? Because they shut you out, and that's what you hated, being shut out.
Not by the crowds, baby. By you. By the man I worshipped. That's why I hated Skipper.
You hated him so much that you got him drunk and went to bed with him.
Maggie's violet eyes gleam as she holds his gaze. Brick turns to Big Daddy.
Well, is that true?
Maggie closes her eyes.
Oh, Big Daddy, you don't think I ravished a football hero?
Brick rubs the crutch under his arm.
Skipper was drunk.
So are you most of the time. I don't seem to make out so well with you.
Are you trying to say that nothing happened between you and Skipper?
You know what happened.
I don't know what happened. I don't know, Maggie. Now, I wasn't there. I couldn't play that Sunday. I wasn't in Chicago. I was in the hospital.
But Skipper played. Oh, he played all right. Played his first professional game without Brick. Tell Big Daddy what happened. Go ahead, tell him. You're a sports announcer. Give us a running account of the All-American bust. Tell Big Daddy how many times Skipper fumbled and stumbled and fell apart. On offensive, he was useless. On defensive, he was a coward. And it was all over. Chicago 47, Dixie Star 0.
Bad break.
No.
An off day.
No, baby. Without you, Skipper was nothing. Outside, big, tough, confident. Inside, pure jelly. You saw the game on TV. You saw what happened.
But I didn't see what happened in Skipper's hotel room. That little episode was not on TV. Go ahead, tell Big Daddy why you were in Skipper's room.
He was sick. Sick with drink. He wouldn't come out. He busted some furniture and the hotel manager said to stop him before he called the police. So I went to his room. I scratched on his door and begged him to let me in. He was half crazy, violent and screaming one minute and weak and crying the next. And all the time, scared stiff about you. So I said to him, maybe it was time we forgot about football. Maybe he ought to get a job and let me and Brick alone. I thought he'd hit me. He walked toward me, a funny sort of smile on his face. Then he did the strangest thing. He kissed me. That was the first time he'd ever touched me. And then I knew what I was gonna do. I'd get rid of Skipper. I'd show Brick that their deep, true friendship was a big lie. I'd prove it by showing that Skipper would make love to the wife of his best friend. He didn't need any coaxing. He was more than willing. He even seemed to have the same idea.
You're just trying to whitewash it.
I'm not. I was trying to win back my husband. It didn't matter how. I would have done anything. Even that. The last second, I got panicky. Supposing I lost you instead. Supposing you'd hate me instead of Skipper. So I ran. Nothing happened. I've tried to tell him 100 times, but he won't let me. Nothing happened.
Hallelujah, Saint Maggie.
I wanted to get rid of Skipper, but not if it meant losing you. He blames me for Skipper's death. Maybe I got rid of Skipper. Skipper won out anyway. I didn't get rid of him at all.
Her eyes teary, she turns to go, then looks at Brick. His face is locked in a frown.
Isn't it an awful joke, honey? I lost you anyway.
You didn't talk to him again before he...
No. But Brick did.
How do you know they talked?
Skipper told me.
When?
When they put his poor broken body in the ambulance. I rode with him to the hospital. And all the time he kept on saying, why did Brick hang up on me? Why?
Why, Brick?
Turning away, Brick drains his glass. As Maggie leaves, Brick pulls a bottle from the liquor cabinet, then heads for the veranda. Big Daddy shuts the hall door behind Maggie.
Brick, where are you going?
Home.
Grabbing the bottle, Big Daddy blocks the veranda door.
You can't drive, you're drunk.
Not yet, Big Daddy, not yet. Now give me that bottle.
Dashing the bottle on the veranda, Big Daddy shuts the door.
What are you running away from?
As Brick moves away, Big Daddy stubbornly follows.
Why did you hang up on Skipper when he called you? Answer me. What did he say? Was it about him and Maggie?
He said they'd made love.
And you believed him?
Yes.
Then why haven't you thrown her out? Something's missing here. Now, why did Skipper kill himself?
Because somebody let him down.
Brick's brow shines with sweat.
I let him down. When he called that night, I couldn't make much sense out of it. There was one thing that was sure. Skipper was scared. Scared. It would happen that day on the football field. That I'd blame him. Scared. That I'd walk out on him. Skipper, afraid. I couldn't believe that. I mean, inside, he was real deep down scared. And he broke like a rotten stick. He started crying. I need you. He kept babbling, help me, help me. Me help him. How does one drowning man help another drowning man?
So you hung up on him.
And then that phone started to ring again. And it rang and it rang and it wouldn't stop ringing. And I lay in that hospital bed. I was unable to move or run from that sound. And still, it kept ringing louder and louder. And the sound of that was like Skipper screaming for help.
He blinks back tears.
So that disgust with mendacity is really disgust with myself. And when I hear that click in my head, I don't hear the sound of that phone ringing anymore. And I can stop thinking. I'm ashamed, Big Daddy. That's why I'm a drunk. When I'm drunk, I can stand myself.
But it's always there in the morning, ain't it? The truth? And it's here right now.
He follows Brick outside.
You're just feeling sorry for yourself. That's all it is. Self-pity. You didn't kill Skipper. He killed himself. You and Skipper and millions like you living in a kid's world. Playing games, touchdowns, no worries, no responsibilities. Life ain't no damn football game. Life ain't just a bunch of high spots.
In the carport.
You're a 30-year-old kid. Soon you'll be a 50-year-old kid. Pretending you're hearing cheers when they ain't any. Dreaming and drinking your life away. Heroes in the real world live 24 hours a day, not just 2 hours in a game. Mendacity. You won't...
He flinches and pushes away Brick's helping hand.
You won't live with mendacity. Well, you're an expert at it. The truth is pain and sweat and paying bills and making love to a woman that you don't love anymore. Truth is dreams that don't come true and nobody prints your name in the paper till you die.
Brick bows his head, his pajamas soaked. Big Daddy offers his jacket.
Now here.
Brick gets into the convertible and slowly starts to reverse.
The truth is, you never growed up. Grown-ups don't hang up on their friends.
Get away from the car.
And they don't hang up on their wives, and they don't hang up on life. Now that's the truth, and that's what you can't face.
Can you face the truth?
Try me.
Or somebody else's truth.
Bull, you're running again.
Yeah, I am running. Running from lies. Lies like birthday congratulations and many happy returns of the day when there won't be any.
Brick stares into his father's fierce eyes. Rain pours into the open convertible, beating on their faces and soaking Big Daddy's white shirt. Rick looks away.
Please, let me go home.
What did you say?
I don't remember.
Any happy returns when there won't be any?
Please, just let me go home. Leave the place to Goopa and May.
Leave the place? You said I was going to leave the place or anything. I'll outlive you. I'll bury you. I'll buy your coffin.
That's right, Big Daddy. Many happy returns.
The old man's mouth twitches as he stares, unblinking, at his son.
Well, I... What's your son? About that report from the clinic?
Looking away, he touches his side.
This pain keeps grabbing it. It's death. Pain. Well, answer me. The truth.
You said it yourself, Big Daddy. Mendacity is a system we live in.
The old man's gaze lifts as he straightens. He blinks, his hands loosely clenched, then hobbles toward the house. Brick sits motionless in the convertible, his head bowed. The windshield wipers beat rapidly in front of him. Maggie runs to the open front door wearing a raincoat. She pauses as Big Daddy walks past her in a trance, dragging his suit jacket. She watches him move through the vestibule, then hurries out into the rain.
Brick!
He backs onto the lawn. He tries to drive forward, but the wheels spin in the mud. As he gets out, his crutch slips forward. Brick accidentally slams the door on it. Slowly, he bends and picks up half the crutch. Maggie runs to him, her short hair and wet curls around her face.
Look at us, Maggie, look at us. The great Pollitt Enterprises. Stuck in them.
I hurt him, Maggie.
Brick shakes his head.
I hurt him really bad.
What's the matter? What's happened? Why did Big Daddy...
We gotta talk to you, Big Mama. Hey!
Brick!
Get Dr. Ball!
Where is he?
I don't know. Just find him.
Brick!
Hooper puts an arm around his mother's shoulder. Outside, Brick leans on Maggie as they move slowly up the driveway. Inside, Doc Bow hurries to the cellar
Doc.
Stairs.
Doc!
I wouldn't go down to him right now, Ida.
Sweetheart! Sweetheart! Big Daddy, can you hear me? Sweetheart, what are you doing? I'm coming down.
Below, Big Daddy sits by cobwebbed antiques.
No need, Ida. We'll be coming up in a minute.
Bare light bulbs hanging from the unfinished ceiling cast a harsh light on Big Daddy's slumped form. Doc Bow opens his medical bag.
Oh. If that pain gets too bad, this is morphine and a syringe. The instructions are written out. It's no use pretending anymore. When that pain hits, it'll hit hard. Make it easy on yourself.
He hands him the birthday robe.
Here. You better take off those wet clothes.
Why? Afraid it might catch cold and die?
Big Daddy looks straight ahead, his mouth set in a grim line. As the doctor leaves, Big Daddy glances after him, then looks down at the cashmere robe in his lap and throws it to the floor. At the top of the stairs, the others wait for Doc Bow.
Why can't I go down to him?
Well, he's,
Cooper encourages him with a nod.
Well, his stomach's upset, Ida.
She hurries away.
Why, all he needs is a peppermint.
It's time we had that little talk, Doc.
It's going to be painful.
Well, painful things can't always be avoided.
So I've noticed, but the times when you...
Yes, sir, I think it's time we all had a little talk.
What talk you all talking about?
Doc, what were Brick and Big Daddy fight about out in the rain?
We didn't discuss it.
What's he doing in the cellar all alone?
Yeah, why can't Big Mama go and see him?
You heard why. Because he's got the stomach upset. It's made him irritable. When old couples been together as long as me and Big Daddy, they get irritable with each other from too much devotion. Isn't that so?
Maggie kisses her.
Of course that's so.
He loves his family. He loves to have them around him, but it's a strain on his nerves. He wasn't himself. I could tell he was all worked up.
Well, it's the party and the excitement and all. He's probably just a little wore up, that's all.
Did you notice how he ate? Why, he ate like a P.I.G. hog.
I hope you don't regret it.
Who? Well, Big Daddy? Why, he helped himself twice to Hoppin' John.
He just loves Hoppin' John. We had a real country dinner.
And candied yams. Well, that man put away enough to stuff a field hand.
I just hope you don't have to pay for it later on.
What? What's that?
Gooper says he hoped Big Daddy don't have...
Oh, shoot. Gooper says. There ain't nothing wrong with Big Daddy but nerves.
Maggie bows her head.
Ain't that so, Maggie?
Looking up, Maggie smiles and nods.
He's as sound as a dollar, and now he knows he is. And that's why he ate such a supper. He had a load off his mind, knowing he wasn't doomed to... what he thought he was doomed to.
Maggie rushes to her.
Now, nothing's gonna hurt Big Daddy. We just won't allow anything to happen to him.
Doc! Come here, Doc.
I don't need any doctor.
He's got something to tell you about Big Daddy.
I want Brick!
He'll be down directly.
Sticky rain always makes me sick.
Maggie hurries up the red-carpeted stairs.
Damn, done with her. What's wrong here? You all got such long faces.
Upstairs, Brick changes.
Brick, Big Mama needs you.
They'll tell her without me.
Oh, please, Brick. I just can't stand the way that May and Gooper...
What? Trying to grab off this place for themselves? Well, let them have it all. And if you want to fight for a piece of the old man's carcass, why, you go right ahead, but you're going to do it without me.
All right, I deserve that. But not this time. This time you're wrong. What I can't stand is not losing this place. It's Big Mama. I know what it's like to lose somebody you love.
Careful, Maggie. Your claws are showing.
She softly shakes her head and leaves.
May, close that door.
Don't close that door. Let a little air circulate.
I just don't think we ought to run the risk of Big Daddy hearing a word of this discussion.
What discussion of what? Maggie, Brick!
Now, Big Mama.
There ain't going to be a word said in this house of Big Daddy Pollock's that he can't hear if he wants to. Brick, where are you?
Where do you think he is? Gone to pieces. That's where he is.
Doc, ain't there some kind of cure for drinkers?
Brick don't need no cure.
Of course he don't. Just give him time to lap up all the whiskey in the state. That'll cure him.
You'll stop that kind of talk.
Maggie strides in.
Well, Big Daddy takes a drink now and then. I don't trust a man who don't drink.
Good for you.
May, sit down and hold Big Mama's hand while we talk.
Oh, darling.
What are you all surrounding me for? I don't need anyone to hold my hand. You're crazy.
Now, you calm yourself, sweetheart.
You calm yourself, sister woman. How am I going to calm myself with everyone staring at me as if big drops of blood had broken out of my face? What's all this about, huh? What?
Doc, sit down, May. Big Mama wants to know the complete truth about the report we got from the clinic.
Truth. Truth. Everybody keeps hollering about the truth. Well, the truth is as dirty as lies.
Big Mama gets quickly to her feet. Clutching a handkerchief, she looks fearfully at Gooper, then walks over to Doc Bowe.
There's something I don't know, Doc.
Well,
I want to know.
She glances wildly at them all.
Somebody must be lying.
Come and sit down, Mama, please.
I want to know about my husband.
He had the most thorough examination ever given at the Offenheim Clinic, Ida.
It's one of the best clinics in the country.
It's the best in the country, bar none.
They were 99 9/10 sure before they even started. Right, Doc?
Sure of what?
The test was positive.
May, shut up.
Big Mama grips Doc Bowe's lapels as she squints up at him. He nods.
It's hopeless, Ida. He knows it, too.
Hopeless?
Now, darling.
You had to know.
Why didn't they cut it out of him, Ma?
It's gone past the knife, Ida.
He's dying, Big Mama.
You get away from me, May. Get away from me. I want Brick. Where's my Brick? Where's my only son?
She runs to the stairs.
Brick!
Mama, please.
No.
I'm your son, too.
Cooper's your firstborn.
Now listen to me.
No!
Ida, he'll be having some pain.
Cooper, no. And I think that...
Oh,
Big
May,
Daddy,
shut up. No. Do you want to see him suffer?
No.
Then he's got to be started on morphine.
No. Nobody's going to give my husband morphine. No. No.
She leaves them, and Maggie follows. Doc Bow halts Cooper.
Why don't you give her a while to adjust herself to the idea?
It's Maggie who's upset.
Hey, Doc, instead of a needle, haven't you maybe got a pill to make the pain disappear?
Sometimes I wish I had a pill to make people disappear.
Well, thanks for everything, Doc. We sure do appreciate it.
The doctor leaves, and Cooper shuts the door. May whispers to him as they eye the living room where Big Mama opens the veranda doors for some air. She lifts her handkerchief to her mouth, then turns and looks fretfully about the room. Seeing Maggie, she smiles.
Does Brick know?
Maggie nods, her eyes closing sadly. Big Mama's brow pinches in anguish as she heaves a deep breath. Struggling for calm, she covers her mouth and sits on the arm of the sofa.
You know, honey, we was never a very happy family.
Maggie sits beside her.
I mean, there wasn't much joy in this house. Well, it wasn't Big Daddy's fault. I mean, it was just... Well, you know how some homes are happy homes, but... I thought coming home from the clinic this morning that now we'll be happy here. You and Brick will come and live with us, and you'll have your children in this house, and we'll help each other be happy.
Holding Maggie's hand, she nods earnestly, then shakes her head.
Nothing's ever the way you plan, is it?
She pats Maggie's hand, then straightens with a sharp breath. Standing, she leans urgently on the sofa.
Margaret, honey, you gotta help Brick. Make him pull himself together. You see, if he's gonna take hold of things...
Take hold of what things?
Big Mama stares at Gooper and May.
The place.
Big Mommy, you've had a shock.
Well, yes, we've all had a shock.
Well, let's be realistic.
Big Daddy would never, never be foolish
enough. He'd never
enough.
Be foolish enough to put this place in irresponsible hands.
He ain't putting this place in anybody's hands. My husband is not gonna die. Now, I want you to get that in your heads, both of you.
But we're hoping just as much as you are.
And we intend to pray for
him. But I'm not gonna let you persuade Big Daddy to leave this
Cooper
place.
Cooper is your firstborn. Well, he always had to carry a bigger load of the responsibilities than Brick. Brick never carried a thing in his life but a football or a highball.
May, will you let me talk, please?
Yes, of course.
All right. Now, a 28,000-acre plantation is a mighty big thing to run.
Almost single-handed.
You had your law practice in Memphis. When did you ever run this place?
Oh, Mama, let's be fair. What? Ever since Big Daddy's health started failing him, Gooper has worked like a fool to keep this place up.
May.
Well, Gooper won't admit it. Well, he never thought of it as a duty.
May!
But Big Daddy don't even know half of what he owns
around
here.
The point is, I'm not going to see this place run into the ground by a drunken ex-football hero.
You shut up about my husband.
You shut up.
He has no right to slander.
I got a right to discuss my own brother with members of my own family, which don't include you. Now.
At the top of the stairs, Brick listens, dressed in a white Oxford shirt and corduroys.
Pass out already.
Yeah, he may have to pass up the sugar bowl this year. Or was it the Rose Bowl he made his famous run in?
It was the punch bowl, honey. The cut glass punch bowl.
That's right. I always get that boy's bowls mixed up.
Oh, I have never seen such malice toward a brother.
What about his malice toward Gooper?
He can't even stand being in the same room with me.
On the stairs, a servant approaches Brick.
Can I help you, Mr. Brick?
Oh, no, thank you, Lacey. Where's my father?
The cabin's in the cellar. And he's alone. And he's...
Thank you, Lacey.
This is a deliberate campaign to ruin Brick.
He don't need any
help. For the most disgusting and sordid reasons on earth. Avarice. Avarice and greed. Greed.
Oh, no, Margaret, darling, don't cry. Don't cry.
Well, that takes the cake.
Me.
Who are the tears for? Brick? Big Daddy? Or are they for yourself?
Me.
Are you crying because you're childless? You know why she's got no kids? Ask her big, beautiful husband.
Me. You just won't let me do this a nice way, will you? All right. You always said I never loved Big Daddy. How would you know?
Big Mama turns away.
How would he know? Did he ever let anybody love him? For him, it was always Brick, always. From the day he was born, he was always partial to Brick. Why? Big Daddy wanted me to become a lawyer. I became a lawyer. He said get married. I got married. He said have kids. I had kids. He said live in Memphis. I lived in Memphis. Whatever he said do, I did, all right. Now, I don't give a damn whether Big Daddy likes me or don't like me or did or never did or will never. I've appealed for common decency and fair play. Well,
Now I'm telling you, I intend to protect my interests. I'm not a corporation lawyer for nothing. May, go get my briefcase out of our bedroom.
Yes, hon.
As she hurries out, she sees Brick leaning on the banister.
Oh. It was
the cotton bowl, sister woman.
He shuffles to the cellar stairs. Gripping the railing, he swings his fine, trim body between his muscular arms as he hops downstairs. Pausing at the bottom, he glances around the cluttered room. Cobwebs cling to leather chairs, ornate statuary, and dusty furniture.
Pa?
Brick carefully clears the final stairs, then straightens. Catching sight of a morphine bottle, he hops over to it and stands with his back to a life-sized poster of himself aiming a football. Brick glances at the label on the bottle, then holds the instructions up to the light and squints to read.
Pa?
Hopping around storage crates, he finds Big Daddy doubled up in agony near an old phonograph. A rattan suitcase lies open on the floor. Hurrying over, Brick touches his father's shoulders.
Give me your hand.
I don't want your hand.
Clutching an old uniform and felt hat to his side, Big Daddy slowly stands and loosens his tie. He turns, pulling free of Brick's arm, and the hat drops to the ground. As Big Daddy makes off, the light bulb overhead shines on the bald crown of his head. For a moment, he pauses to rest, the muscles of his face tensing. Then he continues. Brick picks up the felt hat and notices a 78 spinning on the phonograph. Around the corner, Big Daddy drops heavily into the chair by the morphine. His pink face glistens with sweat as his trembling hands unroll a needle from its cotton. Wincing, he falls back in the chair, rigid. Brick hurries over and fills the hypodermic.
No.
What if Dr.
No, Ball... no, it's my pain. It makes it my business. I thought you wouldn't hit yourself. What do you want?
Came to apologize.
Yeah? What for, telling me the truth?
Must be a dozen reasons.
Well, save them. I hate apologies, especially for the truth. But if you did, don't apologize for it. Just don't do it again. If you didn't do it, start doing it. Start by getting me a cigar out of that coat.
You think you are?
Get me the cigar, boy.
Brick sets down the needle and gets the cigar as Big Daddy pulls out a lighter.
It's all wet from the rain.
Roll wet yourself. It's a lousy joke, but it's true.
He tries the lighter, then tosses it away.
Modern science.
Shaking, he lifts the cigar to his lips as Brick strikes a match. As smoke rises from the cigar, Brick watches his father with concern. Big Daddy grimaces.
Get me that.
He gestures vaguely.
That robe.
Brick gently holds up the cashmere birthday robe, pausing to look at it before he folds it. Standing, Big Daddy works his way out of his shirt.
There's a bottle in that desk.
I don't want to drink.
But I do. I want to drink. I've got a million clicks in my guts. I have sharpened them themselves.
Brick hops to the desk, stirring a cobweb.
You know about clicks, don't you, boy?
Big Daddy picks up his robe.
So you bought me a birthday present, huh?
No, sir. Maggie bought it.
Got good taste, that girl.
In some things, yes, sir. But not in men.
He smiles, holding a whiskey bottle.
Nice soft material. And this is my soft birthday. Not my gold or my silver. This is my soft birthday.
He belts his robe, then accepts a drink from Brick and raises the glass.
Well, here's to my last birthday. Did you drink into that?
Brick shakes his head.
Clickety-click.
Big Daddy closes his eyes and gulps the whiskey. He shudders, then knocks back the rest. Wiping his hand across his perspiring brow, he starts to move around the cellar.
You know what I'm going to do before I die? I'm going to open up all these boxes.
Brick's puzzled gaze follows him.
Will you look at this stuff? Bought most of it, and when I took your mother to Europe on that cook's tour. I've had such a lousy time of life. Now, that Europe is nothing but a great big auction. Bunch of old worn-out place, a great big fire sale, the whole rotten thing. And Big Mama went wild in it, boy. She just bought and bought and bought. Sure is lucky I'm a rich man, yes, sir.
Brick spins an old bicycle wheel.
Got any idea what I'm worth, son? Ask Cooper. He knows. He knows the penniless, I'll miss my guess. Close on $10 million in cash and blue chip stocks. Besides, from 28,000 acres of the richest land this side of the Valley Nile.
Well, that is pretty rich to be.
Big Daddy opens a dusty clock.
Well, there's one thing you can't buy in a Europe fire sale or any other market on earth. That's your life. Can't buy back your life when it's finished.
No, sir. Nobody can do that.
Feeling sorry for me or for you?
Brick looks at the bicycle, then stills the wheel.
For you, Papa.
That's good, because you're going to miss me, boy.
Why'd you let Ma buy all this stuff?
The human animal is a beast that eventually has to die. And if he's got money, he buys and he buys and he buys. The reason why he buys everything he can is because the crazy hope that one of the things he buys will be life everlasting, which it never can be. Suddenly notice that you don't call me Big Daddy anymore. Now, if you needed a Big Daddy, why didn't you come to me? If you wanted somebody to lean on, why, Skipper? Why not me? I'm your father. I'm Big Daddy me. Why didn't you come to your kinfolks, the people that love you?
You don't know what love means to you. It's just another four-letter word.
Oh, you got a mighty short memory. What was there that you wanted that I didn't buy for you?
You
answer me
can't that. Buy love. You bought yourself $1 million worth of junk. Look at it. Does it love you?
Who'd you think I bought it for? Me? It's yours. The place, the money, every rotten thing is yours.
I don't want things.
He shoves over antiques.
Well, we drew this up.
Upstairs, everybody flinches.
I say, we drew this up with the advice and assistance of the board of directors.
May blocks the door.
Get out of my way.
Where's the mistress?
I don't want to see it.
Pushing May aside, Maggie hurries to the top of the cellar stairs. Pausing, she watches Brick swing a fire iron at a vase.
Waste! Waste!
He swings at chairs hanging overhead, then narrows his eyes at his football poster.
Worthless!
He hacks up his photo.
Worthless! Worthless!
Dropping the iron, he picks up a trophy.
Worthless.
Closing his eyes, he smashes it, then collapses on top of a crate. Big Daddy blinks in dismay. Maggie's brow creases with pity. Slowly, Big Daddy approaches his son. Brick swivels away, hiding his face.
Don't, son. Please don't cry, boy.
Brick rests his forehead on the back of his hand. Watching with reserve, Big Daddy swallows hard. Maggie turns sorrowfully back upstairs. Brick hunches over, his eyes squeezed shut.
That's funny. I never saw you cry before. How's that? Did you ever cry as a kid?
Can't you understand? I never wanted your place or your money or it. I don't want to own anything. All I wanted was a father, not a boss. I wanted you to love me.
I did and I do.
No. Not me and not Goopa, not even Mama.
That's a lie. I did love her. I'd give her anything, everything she
things.
Wanted.
Things. Things, Papa, you gave her things. A house, a trip to Europe, all his junk. Some jewelry, things. You gave her things, Papa, not love.
I gave her an empire, boy.
Well, now, I've seen you out there on your empire with the men who run it for you. You don't even know their names. Or if they got kids, or if they're happy, you never looked into their faces.
So what are faces? You don't build an empire by remembering faces. Next week, I'm going to start building that textile plant. I'll not only grow my own cotton, I'll weave it and I'll market it. I'll tell you, boy, in a year, 2 years from now.
His eyes flit down, then back up to Brick's alarmed frown. Big Daddy's jaw clenches. Limping, he finds a chair and sits on the edge, his eyes dull.
men who build empires die, and empires die too.
No. No, it won't. That's why I've got you and Gooper.
Look at Gooper. Look at what he's become. Is that what you wanted him to be? And look at me. You put it very well indeed. I'm a 30-year-old kid, and pretty soon I'm going to be a 50-year-old kid. I don't know what to believe in. Now, what's the good of living if you got nothing to believe? There's got to be some purpose in life, some meaning. Look at me. For the sake of God, look at me before it's too late. For once in your life, look at me as I really am. Look at me!
Big Daddy looks.
I'm a failure. I'm a drunk. On my own in the open market, I'm not worth the price of a decent burial.
You and Gooper and the rest of you blaming me for everything, huh?
No, Papa. Nobody. Just that we've known each other all my life and we're strangers. You own 28,000 acres of the richest. You own $10 million. You own a wife and two children. You own us, but you don't love us.
In my own way, I...
No, sir. You don't even like people. You wanted Gooper to have kids. You want me to have kids. Why?
Because I want a part of me to keep on living. I won't have it end with the grave.
He shakes the rattan suitcase.
This is what my father left me. This lousy old suitcase. And on the inside was nothing. Nothing but his uniform from the Spanish-American War. This was his legacy to me. Nothing at all.
He throws it aside.
And I built this place from nothing.
Sitting, he uncorks the whiskey bottle. Across from him, Brick watches.
And that's all he left you?
It's a hobo. Best known tramp on the boxcar circuit. Well, he worked once in a while as a field hand. I'd tag along, sat on the bare bottom in the dirt waiting for him. Outside of hunger. First thing that I could remember, shame. I was ashamed of that miserable old tramp. I was riding boxcars when I was 9 years old. Something you never had to do. And you'll never have to bury me neither, like I did him. I buried him in a meadow along beside a railroad track. We was running to catch a freight, and his heart gave out.
A full smile spreads on his face.
You know, some that lousy old tramp died laughing.
Laughing at what?
Himself, I guess. You know, a hobo tramp. Not a nickel in his jeans, you know. No future, no past.
Brick fingers the hat.
Maybe he was laughing because he was happy. Happy at having you with him. He took you everywhere, and he kept you with him.
I don't want to talk about it.
Big Daddy's lips quiver, and he turns his head. Brick pushes the hat into his father's chest. Big Daddy plumps up the soft crown, then shapes it.
Yeah, I loved him. I reckon I never loved anything as much as that lousy old tramp.
And you say he left you nothing but a suitcase? With a uniform in it from the Spanish-American War?
Some memories.
And love.
Big Daddy smiles boyishly.
Did I tell you all them stories about my old man?
Yeah, about 50 times.
Brick squints fondly, and Big Daddy nods. Suddenly, his face contorts with pain. Clutching his belly, he topples forward. Upstairs.
It's only a plan to protect the biggest estate in the Delta from irresponsibility.
Mom, it's about to
Maggie, where is it?
What, Mom?
What the doctor left. To make his pain easier.
Brick's down there with him. Brick will help Big Daddy.
Help him? How? By running a 100-yard dash?
Oh, shut up,
Maybe
Maggie.
He'll cheer Big Daddy up by kicking a couple of field goals.
One more crack, Queenie, just one, and I will not only spit in your eye, but I will punch it black and blue.
Now, hold on a minute.
I'm not going to listen to any more slander.
May was only saying...
I know what she said, and I know exactly what she meant.
That the only world that Brick knows is a world that
it's
he never made.
Not a world he made.
Maggie raises a hand at May, and Gooper grabs her wrist.
Ace.
Downstairs, Brick prepares morphine.
No.
Why won't you take it?
No.
It'll kill the pain, that's all.
It'll kill the senses, too. When you got pain, at least you know you're alive.
He straightens gradually.
It's easing somewhat now.
He walks toward the stairs.
Well, when you got pain, it's better to judge yourself and a lot of things. I'm not going to stupefy myself with that stuff. I want to think clear. I want to see everything, and I want to feel everything. And I won't mind going. I've got the guts to die. What I want to know is if you got the guts to live.
I don't know.
We can try. Start by helping each other up the stairs.
Brick hops over, using antiques for balance. At the foot of the stairs, he looks up. The light shines warmly on his face as he grins and takes Big Daddy's hand.
Yes, sir.
In the living room, Gooper holds a pile of papers.
Well, at least you can do is read them.
You put those papers away before I tear them up. I don't know what's in them. I don't want to know what's in them. I'm talking in Big Daddy's language now. I'm his wife, not his widow. I'm still his wife.
Yeah, but what I got here is...
Explained, it's just a plan.
Plan, basis. What I say to your plan is... Maggie, what is it Big Daddy says when he's disgusted?
He says bull when he's disgusted.
Yeah, that's right. I say bull, too, like Big Daddy.
Well, coarse language don't seem called for to me.
Bull!
Something in the hall, Big Daddy and Brick listen.
Then stop talking like your father was dead, and me along with him.
But what about her? She wants her share, too.
As far as Brick is concerned, nobody's gonna take nothing. Not till Big Daddy lets go. And maybe just possibly not even then. No, Mama, not even then.
Opening the front door, Big Daddy scratches a dog.
Get off, Bucky boy.
Servants fix the porch light.
Ah, looks like the wind took some liberties with this place.
Evening, Captain.
Evening, Captain.
Storm cross over the river?
Cold Arkansas, Captain.
Rain isn't good, Captain.
Some good, I reckon.
Big Daddy opens the veranda door to the living room.
I don't want to see this first.
Well, the least you can do is read them.
You put those papers away before I tear them up. I don't know what's in them. I don't want to know what's in them.
Well, can I come in?
Gooper collects his papers.
Storm done any damage, Big Daddy?
What storm you talking about? The one on the outside or that hullabaloo I heard going on in here?
May and Gooper collect papers from the floor. As Brick comes in from the hall, Big Daddy steps on a sheet. Gooper looks up.
Excuse me, sir. Heard some mighty loud talking. Sound like something important was being discussed. What's the powwow about?
Nothing, Big Daddy. Nothing at all.
What's some important-looking documents you got there, Gooper?
Lisa, nothing. Nothing much anything at all.
Well, then what are you and the sister woman scurrying and scrounging around for? Looks like a whole lot of nothing to me.
Eyebrows raised, he picks up a few sheets.
What's that smell in this room? Didn't you notice it, Brick? Didn't you notice a powerful and obnoxious odor of mendacity in this room?
Brick grins and hands May some papers.
Yes, sir. I think I did.
There ain't nothing more powerful than the odor of mendacity. Didn't you notice it, Gooper?
What, sir?
What about you, sister woman? Didn't you notice an unpleasant smell of mendacity in this room?
Big Daddy, I don't even know what that is.
You smell it. Smells like death.
No.
As Big Mama turns her face away, Maggie comforts her.
What's the matter with that woman over there? Hey, what's your name? What's the matter with you?
She just had a slight dizzy spell.
Hey, you better watch that, Big Mama. Stroke's a bad way to go.
Look, Mom. He's wearing Brick's birthday present.
Big Mama looks.
I haven't given you my present yet, but I will now. I have an announcement to make.
What kind of an announcement?
An announcement of life beginning.
Brick looks up.
A child is coming. Sired by Brick out of Maggie the cat.
Brick stares, his lips parted. Big Daddy beams.
I have Brick's child in my body. And that is my present to you.
Ever in your born days ever hear such a bald-faced lie?
Shut up.
Big Mama holds Maggie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
They touch cheeks, and May closes her eyes dizzily. Big Daddy turns Maggie to face him. She stands still under his narrowed gaze.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. This girl has life in her body. And that's no lie. Gooper, I want my lawyer in the morning. My lawyer. Brick?
Yes, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy arches his brow.
Go on out and look this place over before I give it up. The place and the people on it.
Brick smiles softly.
Ida?
Big Mama turns.
You want to come along with me?
As she steps to his side, her pace quickens. Chin lifted, she takes his arm and they share a smile. Gooper pours himself a drink.
Brick, what were you and Big Daddy talking about down there?
Us?
Me too? Yeah, you too.
You ripped him apart, your own brother.
Do you believe that, Gooper?
Gooper meets Brick's warm gaze and shakes his head.
No.
Well, I do.
Keep still. No, family crisis brings out the best and the worst in every member of the family. That's the truth.
Amen.
May faces Maggie.
You won't talk about the truth? You're not pregnant.
Be still, May.
She made it up.
I said shut up.
Don't you try to kid us, Maggie.
May, she's not kidding you.
How can she have a child by you? When you
May,
won't
will
even...
you keep quiet?
We occupy the next room. The walls between aren't soundproof. We hear the nightly pleading and the nightly refusal.
Sister woman, not everybody makes as much noise about love as you do.
He turns and hops up the stairs.
Brick, I never thought that you would stoop to her level.
Oh, you heard what Big Daddy said. That girl's got life in her body.
That's a lie.
No. No, truth is something desperate, and Maggie's got it. Believe me, it is desperate, and she has got it.
Maggie closes her eyes.
Why don't you say something, honey?
All right, honey. Shut up! Maggie?
Maggie's eyes flutter.
Yes?
Come on up here.
Yes, sir.
In the bedroom, Brick switches off the lights. Maggie hurries up the stairs past May and Gooper.
Yeah. That girl's got life in her, all right.
Maggie pauses breathlessly on the threshold.
Thank you for keeping still. For backing me up in my lie.
Maggie, we are through with lies and liars in this house.
His gaze intensifies.
Lock the door.
With parted lips, she locks the door behind her back. Tentative, she steps toward him, her eyes searching his face as he meets her in the center of the room. His clear gaze travels once over her face and shoulders, then he bends his head and their lips meet. As they kiss, Brick takes a pillow from the sofa and tosses it onto the bed. He pulls Maggie closer, deepening the kiss. She leans back into his arms. Words appear. The end.